B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia, Bills beat Milwaukee 12-0 after losing twice to the Marlins, and then last night they get hammered, and more importantly, the starting pitcher, again, with a bad outing. So, to make sense of where they are right now, which is they're 2.5 out of first place, and what's the wild card situation is Dan right now?
Two.
They're two.
Yeah, because the Padres, Padres lost again.
Yes.
Tied with the Padres.
So, yeah, we're coming down the stretch with this wild card, the Padres and the Reds, and the Braves win last night. So, let's try to make sense of the situation with the man who covers baseball nationally, and that's why he's in the Hall of Fame, writing for The Athletic, and then doing so many other things in baseball. It's not even funny. He's brought to us by Everfresh Juice and Juice Drinks. Good juices for good times. He is the only, one and only Jason Stark. Hello, Jason Stark.
Hey, Mike. I'm interrupting listening to Derek Jeter's Hall of Fame speech for you, man.
Well, I am honored. What is he said in the Hall of Fame speech?
It's been excellent. Joe Girardi got a little shout out.
Oh, he did.
He got a mention to all my managers, and he got mentioned. But there was a lot more about Joe Torre than there was about Joe Girardi.
I'm sure there was.
Joe got a shout-out.
Well, that's good. So Larry Walker and Jeter go in after that that awkward COVID thing where they had to postpone it. Is all right with the world now, induction?
Well, Wednesday afternoon with limited attendance. If this had been a normal induction weekend, I would have been there on a Wednesday afternoon in September. Mm-hmm. There's not even any place to stay, right? So it's not what it would have been. Derek Jeter's induction weekend would have been the biggest ever. There would have been 100,000 people. That's what they thought. So,
well, that's a shame.
He didn't get that moment, but at least he gets a moment where there are people there, as opposed to what it would have been.
Yeah,
they'd done this last year with no people there.
So they usually put you guys, all the Hall of Famers, at that hotel. That's not available.
Here's the way it would normally work: is that there's the beautiful Otisaga Hotel where the Hall of Famers stay, and then mm-hmm. there's this sister hotel, the Cooper Inn, and then there's housing for families and friends all over Cooperstown because people rent out their houses.
Uh-huh.
It's the greatest VRBO opportunity ever for those people. But in the middle of the week in September when the kids are in school, that's just not an option. And they wanted to hold the crowd down anyway. So, I could have gone, Mike, but it would have been the same. There's no access to anybody anyway. So, I'll talk to you. That's always good.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a good stuff. So, by the way, when John Clark and I came up to see your induction, we stayed at the lovely Onteonta Motel 6, which was a lovely... which is a lovely hotel. We had a Denny's right there. We dined.
I'm still honored that you were willing to do that.
Well, it was beautiful. It was a great time. All right, so let's talk about this, Jason, because, they seem to... Listen, they're 2.5 out. They were a game and a half out last night. They got hammered last night. They're still in it, kind of. The Braves win last night. I still think the Braves will win the division, which leaves the wild card. Do they have enough strength to outlast the Padres and the Reds to get in there?
All right, well, let's go through this, because you just said it. They are still alive, certainly with their schedule. They're still alive. But you know from talking to me for many years that I always try to look at this in September by basically counting down how many games a team can afford to lose. So if you feel like doing that math, FanGraphs is projecting that it'll take 86 wins to win the division or 86 to win the second wild card. So that means 76 losses. The Phillies already have 67 losses. So you get it? They have 9 more games they can afford to lose. And after tonight, they'll have 7 more series left to play. So if you do this in your head, it means basically they can only afford to lose one series the rest of the way, regardless of what happens tonight. One. Now, maybe if they start sweeping one series after another, that gives them the leeway to maybe lose two. But essentially, when they're even when you're a couple of games out, your margin for error is so slim. And those series, like the one they just played against the Marlins, they can't afford those anymore. I think it's that simple because it's just total pure math.
Yeah. Listen, they've been doing it with tape and string. I mean, the bottom of their orders have been laughable. They've somehow managed to get it done. But they're not going to be able to win the series if the number two pitcher doesn't perform. And this is now two starts in September, and you go back to his old woes. I mean, is he just the guy who gets worn out, or what's the story with Aaron Nola?
Well, you know, it feels like we've been talking about this in spring training, probably because we have been. And I just have a hard time believing he's 100%. When you watch a guy pitch for a long time, you get to know what he is and who he is, but also what he isn't and who he isn't. And I don't think we've ever seen this Aaron Nola. I keep talking to scouts and people in baseball who have seen him a lot, and they're really stunned by what they're watching, because what has he been since he showed up? He's been a guy who commanded four pitches consistently for his whole career, and now he has nights like last night where he struggles to command any. He's a guy who pitched with so much confidence from the day he arrived in the big leagues, and now there are so many nights like last night where it feels like he's pitching with no confidence in any pitch. You know, you see him abandon that two-seam fastball. Mm-hmm. That's been such a great pitch for him against left-handed hitters. He just threw a few of those last night. He throws his four-seam fastball with just no conviction now, and I thought last night was another example of that. And when he stops pitching off his fastball, it makes his curveball so much more hittable and so much more predictable, and it just wasn't very good last night, not the way it's been in some of those big strikeout games. And then, like, one more thing. I know we've talked about this all year, too, and that's his problems with two strikes and his problems out of the stretch. Now, last night, five more two-strike hits in a row. He's allowed more two-strike hits than any pitcher in the National League. And any of them. He can't finish these hitters off anymore because he's lost that natural action, that great movement he had on every pitch.
Yeah, you know, he missed his spots so bad last night. He missed them by a couple feet.
Oh, my God.
And see, I agree. Yeah. Like, to me, that looks like a tired arm. You have to snap that two-seamer. That two-seamer that he throws at a left-hander is usually money. And I think, like, a tired arm, he can't snap that two-seamer, which is why he's not throwing it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a tired arm or whether that elbow ligament, which he's pitched through for a long time, is starting to finally bother him. But, you know, I just had a conversation with a general manager a week or so ago who had lost a pitcher to Tommy John surgery. And he said he was beating himself up over it because he said, you know, he kept looking at the metrics that showed that his velocity was the same. But we were seeing it with our eyes. And he said his command wasn't anything close to what it was before, and we should have realized that was a tip-off, that when it's not the velocity that goes, it's the command. And you know, I'm not saying Aaron Nola needs Tommy John surgery, but a guy whose signature was his great control of everything, who now, you know, he have one game a month where he's that guy?
Yeah.
It's just a red flag, man.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, we were talking about this. If they somehow, you know, sneak into the playoffs, and without Nola's contributions, it's hard to fathom that. But if they do get into that and they go with a rotation, would Joe Girardi actually supplant him and go Gibson and Ranger Suarez and demote him?
I think anything's possible. It's hard for me to imagine he wouldn't get a start. You know, what I would do is try to get him as much rest before that start as possible, and then you got a better version of him. I wouldn't try to ride him through two starts in a short series. They learned today that not only is Zach Eflin not coming back this year, the beginning of next year's in jeopardy because of his knee, the knee surgery. So, I mean, these are their options, and every game is must win, right? So, you can't try to make people feel better. It's about win today. That's what managing in October is all about. And one thing about Joe Girardi is he has done a lot of that.
Yeah. They're starting guys like Vierling and Therese and Marshawn and I look at it I can't believe that they could even be this close, but they seem to be getting by with these guys.
It's really amazing. I thought Matt Gelb had a great description of them in his story today in The Athletic, which is that you can't watch them on any given night, any set of nine innings and get any feel for what they are. They can look so different from one day to the next, as this series has proven. Nobody wins a game 12-0 one night and loses the game 10-0 the next night. That's happened three times in 120 years now. But yes, that's the 2021 Phillies.
It's stunning. Why can't they hit left-handers? what is this aversion to a left-handed pitcher?
Bryce is having his worst season against left-handed pitching since he's been here. Mm-hmm. Rhys Hoskins is no longer in the lineup. JT is another guy I'm convinced he's not 100% or even close between the shoulder and the wrist. He hasn't driven in a run since he got back in the lineup. So those things matter. When Matt Vierling is your second or third best hitter against left-handed pitching, you're having some issues with lineup construction.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, we're at their mercy. So whatever happens is going to happen.
I know. I've been listening to you. Do you still don't want them to get in? Is that right?
No, I want them to get in now. I wanted to be a seller when it was time to be a seller because I just didn't think they had enough to get in. And, then they went on that 8-game winning streak and then I was back in and then they lose to the Marlins or they lose 3 to Arizona and then they rebound again and they lose to the Marlins a couple times. And it's crazy to follow this team.
There haven't been many teams like this that ride the roller coaster like they do. They're hot, they're cold, they rip off 5 in a row, then they lose 4 in a row. And the 2019 Cardinals kind of did this, but it's very rare to be a playoff team that goes about it like this. And yet, it's bizarre to even think about this because, they're so flawed. But if they get in, if they win the East, you know who they would play? They would play the Brewers.
Yeah.
What's their record against the Brewers this year?
Pretty good.
It's 5-1.
And they dusted Woodruff, who they might face in that one game, and they dusted him the other night. I don't know. We'll see. I guess they can win that game. If they're able to pitch Wheeler, they can win that one game. I don't know how the schedule. We looked at the schedule. It didn't look like Wheeler would have been up for that one playoff game for wild card.
Well, I mean, they've got him set up to pitch either the last Sunday of the season or the wild card game or game one. And he could pitch the last Sunday of the season and pitch game one of the division series because I believe they would be in the series that starts Friday.
Okay.
So that makes sense to line it up the way they have it.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
I think.
Jason,
they're going to play in those games.
a pleasure. I don't know either. The Reds, the Padres, they lose. I think the Braves are going to go on a little run here. But so maybe it's the wild card that we have to look at.
Turns now after this series. So you would think But don't you think that that series in Atlanta the last week will probably still matter? I think it will.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll probably have to sleep it.
Yeah. All right, Jason, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you.
Great to talk to you, Mike. Thanks.
Jason Stark, brought to us by Everfresh Juice and Juice Drinks. Good juices for good times.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.